The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a great Wednesday. Another beautiful September day. Such a great time of year. I wish September would never end, man. Green Day, of course, said call me when September ends, but I like the weather too much in September. Too good. Carmen and Yurko, watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Twitch.tv, download the Twitch app. You can see us hanging in the first Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Magic number for the White Sox is down to 7. 6:30 pregame tonight with Connor McKnight here on your home for White Sox baseball. Just after 7, we'll have the first pitch of Sox and Angels. Sox are just a game behind Houston right now. It'd be nice to get that two seed. They lose the tiebreaker to Houston. They're going to have to pass them. The Sox have the second most wins and the third best record in all of baseball at home with 48 home victories. The best in the American League. Only the Dodgers and the Giants have more, Yurko. So it'd be nice to get that two seed. I'll be there tonight. Kids are excited to go see Shohei Ohtani, who has slumped a little bit lately. But it's a good way to bring in our guest, Jeff Passan, who joins us every other week to talk baseball. He's on the Corona Hotline. He is at Jeff Passan on Twitter, and he joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. I mean, Shohei's like minus $5,000 to win the MVP. He has slumped here recently. His team's going to be out of the playoffs. The Blue Jays are probably going to get in, and Vlad Guerrero might win the Triple Crown. I can't imagine. I don't know this for a fact. I'm just sort of knowing the way baseball's gone, especially in the old days, Jeff, the way they voted. I can't imagine a guy's ever won the Triple Crown and not won MVP. I mean, he's not even going to like sniff winning it, and he might win the Triple Crown. That's crazy.
He might win the Triple Crown and might not get a first place vote.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty incredible season that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is having, but he's one player. Shohei Ohtani's two.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, I was discussing this with some people in Toronto yesterday. As long as Shohei Ohtani is healthy, and I'm not even going to go with great, but good at both of his positions, he should win MVP every year because he is quite literally two players in one. And how can you be more valuable than bringing it from both sides? I don't think there's any way to be more valuable than he is.
Is he?
Will he be the first $60 million player?
Oh, boy.
If he's two players?
That's a good question.
Oh, I mean, that's a very interesting question you brought up because Shohei Ohtani did something this offseason that if you look at his what his agents chose was a mistake. He signed a multi-year contract in arbitration, and the deal paid him $3 million this year and will pay him $5.5 million next year. If Shohei Ohtani had gone to arbitration this offseason, can you imagine what he would have gotten by saying, I'm one of the best pitchers in the American League, and I'm also probably the second best hitter in the American League? If you look at the second best hitter in any year two in arbitration, he is typically going to be in like the $12 to $14 million range. And because Ohtani got only $3 million, a jump like that is unlikely. But you know, you could argue for a jump to 10 as a hitter. And as a pitcher, if you look at a second year arbitration guy, someone who's really good, that's another $12 million right there. So you can make the argument that Shohei Ohtani should very easily be a $20-plus million player going into next season, and the Angels would get him for $5.5 million.
Unbelievable. I mean, what's going to happen with the salary structure, though, and a lockout, and who knows? Like, what could he, when he is, I don't know what to expect for next year.
Okay, so here's where it's going, I think, just in terms of the cost of players. I don't think anybody on the free agent market this offseason, position-wise, is going to exceed $40 million
right.
a year. Right. I just, you know.
Hard to believe.
I don't think that guy is out there. You know, Juan Soto, could he be the first $50 million player? 100% yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy who could do it. But I do think that Max Scherzer is making an awfully strong case right now for a Trevor Bauer-like contract. And that if Scott Boras is going to be out there with Max Scherzer this offseason and says, I want 4 years at $50 million a year, he's not going to get it. But it's not completely outlandish when Bauer's making 40 this year and was scheduled to make 45 next year. And even though Max Scherzer is older, I think Max Scherzer is also better.
There's never been a free agent signing like as good as Max Scherzer, has there? I mean, has there ever been anybody like him?
Signing, boy. You know, the contract that everyone points to is Albert Pujols' first deal with the Cardinals. But that was an extension. Right. That wasn't a free agent.
Right, yeah.
Scherzer for 7 years at $210 million. At the time, it felt like an awful lot of money,
sure
right?
Did. Yep.
I was looking at this, though, because I wrote a column trying to make the argument that Scherzer has a chance to go down as the greatest pitcher acquired at the July mm-hmm. deadline. You know, there's Randy Johnson, who was amazing for the Astros, Doyle Alexander for the Tigers. And a little bit earlier, you know, CeCe Sabathia and, of course, Rick Sutcliffe, who ended up winning Cy Young after a midseason trade with the Cubs. If you look at Max Scherzer over the 7 years that he has pitched on this deal, he's thrown 1,280 innings, has struck out 1,682 batters and walked only 285.
Come on.
So we're talking, you know, a 6-to-1 Come strikeout on. To walk ratio is 98-47 with a 2.72 ERA.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, honestly, it doesn't get better than that.
No.
It really doesn't.
He's like, and I've said that for a while. Like, normally, you know, you're going to overpay, and especially with pitching, they turn 30. You always worry. And I think you hit it on the head, Jeff. Like 7 years ago, we were like, yeah, Scherzer's real good, but man, he's 30. Like, he's been worth every penny and then some. And he's just kind of a unicorn in that way. He's the outlier. Like, it doesn't normally work that way, especially when guys turn 30, that you're going to get this kind of value out of them. He's a marvel for sure. Jeff Passan is our guest. We're talking baseball. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Speaking of the Dodgers, I mean, what's going on out west all year is another fascinating story. I mean,
yeah, it's obscene.
It's obscene. It is. Like, you know, and they're going to have to play. The Dodgers are going to have to play in that wild card game, it looks like, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're going to have to play, it looks like, potentially the Cardinals, which, one, is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Because how garbage is the National League. And two, we know the history of the Dodgers and the Cardinals in the playoffs. Now, granted, it's not Clayton Kershaw. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting, by the way. What sort of strategy do you take if you're the Dodgers? Let me throw a couple different scenarios out for you. They're only 2.5 back of the Giants right now. So it is conceivable that the Dodgers and the Giants could tie. Mm. For the National League West crown, and then have to play a game 163 to see who goes off and plays in the wild card. Now, if that's there, do you pitch, if you're the Dodgers, Max Scherzer that game? Do you pitch Walker Buehler that game? Or do you save them and say, you know what, we're going to need them for an actual playoff game, and you know, this kind of hinders us? Like, the math there is very interesting to me. And then the possibility of facing Adam Wainwright, who's been brilliant this year, and having to beat him in a one-game wild card, there's going to be a National League West team that gets put in a really unfortunate position where, in all likelihood, they will be upward of 20 games in the regular season better than the team that they're facing. And still, because baseball is baseball, with a 50-50 shot of exiting right after it.
Is there anybody scarier than the Blue Jays right now?
I mean, I still think the Dodgers are better. And I, I'm at the point now where I'm just so committed to sticking with the Dodgers that even though the Giants have been better than them pretty much all year, and even though the Giants are not just keeping up, but in some cases outpacing the Dodgers on this incredible run that the Dodgers are on right now, that the Giants have been in absolute lockstep with them. You know, Dodgers win 5 in a row. Giants are like, okay, we'll just go win 9 in a row.
Yeah.
Just to show you guys suck in world. So that's what the Giants keep saying. You guys are inferior to us, even though those jabronis like Passan go out and talk about how the Dodgers are a better team. And in the American League, by the way, did the Jays scare you guys more than anyone?
I think their lineup is terrifying. I've been saying that for a couple of months, actually. I remember saying it back even in August. Like, man, if they get in, I wouldn't want to face that. And I'll tell you what, with Manoa's emergence, like with Manoa and Robbie Ray, the way Robbie Ray's pitched this year, they added Jose Berríos. Like, I don't know. That's a scary team in Toronto, man.
I was going to say, the crazy thing is Manoa might be like their four. I mean, he's been better than Ryu.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wonder how much, especially if it's, sort of one of those swing games. Do you want to, if it's 1-1 or if you're down 2-0, do you want to stick a rookie in there?
Yeah.
They're going to be in the wild card. So Ray's probably going to pitch in the wild card.
That's true.
Manoa's probably going to end up in game two or game three. It's a team that their bullpen was absolutely atrocious for the first 4 months of the season, but it's kind of stabilized. And I think Jordan Romano's got really good stuff, and Adam Simber and Tim Mesa, guys that nobody knows about, nor should they really, but have been solid relievers for them. And I'm not saying that the Blue Jays bullpen is going to lead them to the World Series. I think that if there is a weakness, that certainly is it, but it's not quite the weakness it once was.
Yeah, and that lineup's just terrifying. Trev, great stuff as always, buddy. We will talk to you in a couple weeks, all right?
All right, boys, take care.
Thanks, pal.
Enjoy, all right, take care.
Stretch here.
We will. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, the stuff has been great out west. I mean, like, for the White Sox, it's, you know, get to the postseason. I know I've been saying that. But, yeah, there's still some good stuff happening. That the Cardinals are in it is remarkable. I mean, they're a minus in run differential. Now, it's not, like, gaudy. They're a minus 12, okay, but still, like, it's hard to be a minus in baseball and make the playoffs. I think if you go back to 2000, it's happened like 3 or 4 times, York. That's it. I mean, it's just hard to be a negative run differential team and make it. They might, because the Reds are, you know, Tommy's Reds, my God. They've had an opportunity. They've pissed that away. The Padres have just had a terrible second half. That the Cardinals are in this spot now. The Cardinals are in the playoffs if they started today. I mean, come on, a month ago? But they've had a very good second half. Their pen has been good. But it's kind of crazy. Well, but there are still some really good races happening. There's some individual races for awards. You got what's gone on out west. It's been fascinating.
If things play out the way Jeff just mentioned there, you could have the Rays and the Yankees in the AL with Robbie Ray against Garrett Culp, the likely 1-2 Cy Young vote-getters. That's a pretty good play-in game.
If the Cardinals get into the playoffs, you could have a White Sox-Cardinals World Series with Tony La Russa going up against the Cards. How about that, folks?
That won't happen.
I don't think it will either, but baseball is goofy, man. Can you imagine if the stars align for Tony to manage against the Cardinals in the World Series?
3-1. You got a juggernaut in the American League there yourself, kid.
Why? I don't know.
90-win Tampa is just like, nobody even wants to talk about
it. I know. You're right. Tampa's good. The Jays are good. The Astros are good. The White Sox are good. 312-332-3776. That's the number. Join us if you want to jump in the conversation. Bears update from JD at 11:30, and we'll remember Norm MacDonald a little when we come back next.
Fall is here. We all know what that means. Fall golf. But not just fall golf. Construction, too. Yes. Believe it or not, construction is still happening in Chicagoland. And you don't want to be caught with the lights out. Let Alta Power Systems make sure your generators are up and running strong for all your construction projects this fall. The Alta Power team is here for you 24/7, 365. Service, sales, and rentals. You don't always have to buy your construction equipment. Alta Equipment lets you rent it too. Check out altaequipment.com because uptime matters.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko. And at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
JD's got a Bears update for us coming up at 11:30, about 11:33. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope you're having a great day. Big thanks again yesterday to everybody at Flossmoor Golf Club, all the partners that came out, everybody in our promotions and marketing department. Great job. I mean, Jess, Rachel, Travis, Finn, everybody up there just did an absolute
job. Boy, that Lou Malnati's pizza before in the end.
And Bona.
Bona. Woo. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I picked out on the Bona.
I went to town. The cookies from the Lou's tray at the beginning were, and the brownies
you
were
like those, Merck?
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Merck knows a good cookie tray when he sees one, too. It was a fun day. It really was. It was a sad night when I got the news about Norm MacDonald. Norm kept his cancer diagnosis very private. Even it sounded like people in the biz, people he'd worked with, people he knew didn't know he was battling cancer. I mean, that's how quiet he kept this 9-year battle with cancer. Norm MacDonald died at the age of 61. I was stunned to see the news, having no idea. And at first, not knowing what happened, I thought, No, I love Norm MacDonald. I thought he was wickedly funny. I just loved the way he told stories, the deadpan sort of, you know, cadence he had with things.
Right.
And he was on Howard a lot over the years. And I thought just a really funny, great storyteller. I thought he was the best Weekend Update anchor SNL ever had, York. I thought he was perfect for that role. And there have been some good ones over the years. You know, but I always thought he was the best. He was fired.
I thought he was number one.
He was fired from Saturday Night Live and NBC in the late, about 1998, I guess. And the rumor was always that he was fired at the urging of Don Ohlmeyer, who was one of the titans of the TV industry. He really created modern sports television.
Anybody that was in bed with OJ.
Right, correct.
Wanted to protect OJ.
Protect OJ. And Don Ohlmeyer, who ran ABC Sports for many years and then through the 90s was at NBC, it was very friendly with O.J. Simpson. And Norm, if you remember, if you're old enough to remember at the time, Norm MacDonald, for years, I mean, it
torched
went on.
Him.
He torched him.
Torched him.
And he was constantly going after O.J. I'll give you a little sample here.
And the Pope came out with a book this week, which contains a series of essays examining faith and morality in today's secular world and the changing role of the Catholic Church as it approaches the 21st century. The book is entitled, God Himself Told Me That O.J. Is Guilty. In other book news, Prince Charles released an autobiography in which he states that he never loved Princess Di and that his father pressured him to marry her. The book is entitled, Of Course O.J. Did It. I mean, come on. And finally, in honor of the 50th anniversary of their first publication, Random House will be releasing special commemorative issues of many Dr. Seuss classics. The first to hit the bookshelves will be Green Eggs and Ham and O.J. is Guilty.
I mean, that's one 48-second example. Like Yurko said, you could find years worth of material.
Yeah.
Where he just torched him. And Don Ohlmeyer fired him. A year and a half later, he was welcomed back as a guest host for SNL. And he would proceed to torch NBC. And it was great. It was classic Norm. Like, he didn't care. He did his whole monologue about how could I not be funny a year and a half ago, and now suddenly I'm funny. And he talked about how the show stunk. I mean, it was just like...
He's irreverent.
Yeah, he was so good. Letterman loved him.
Yeah.
He was the last comic ever on Letterman. How about that? David Letterman chose him to be the last comic on Dave's last show. One of my favorite bits Norm ever did was, and he did it in a few places, but I'll play you a sample. This is from David Letterman's last show. What was that, about 2015, Letterman, or 2012, something like that?
Something like that.
When Letterman went off the air, Norm was his last comedian. I always got a kick out of this bit. We just want to play some stuff to lighten it up, to remember Norm, and damn, he was funny. So I always got a kick out of this.
But I watch the TV, I watch the news, make you afraid, the news, you know? Put all these stories on, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, you know, try to scare you, you know? But does it ever really scare you? Like, you ever wake up in the middle of the night, North Korea! That little tiny country across the ocean. I wonder if they'll get me. Plus, didn't MASH settle that like 20 years ago? Why'd I have to watch that stupid show? There is one country that worries me, though. Not Iraq, not Iran, not North Korea. The only country that really worries me is the country of Germany. I don't know if you guys are history buffs or not, but... in the early part of the previous century, Germany decided to go to war. And who did they go to war with? The world. That had never been tried before. And so you figure that would take about 5 seconds for the world to win, but no, it was actually close. About 30 years pass, and Germany decides again to go to war, and again it chooses as its enemy the world. And this time they have that guy, Schrankly, Krankly, that guy. And I'm not even going to dignify him by saying his name, but I think you know what I'm talking.
It's just brilliant, man. I mean, the whole, you know, I don't know if you guys are history buffs. I mean, it's fantastic. It's that deadpan and like that pause, and everybody's appreciating the comedy in that. And he was a master at that, Jörg.
Yeah, he was great. He was fantastic. I saw some other things where some young lady had done a movie with Carrot Top. And you could find that, and it's available.
It was Courtney Thorne-Smith.
That's exactly who it was.
Yeah, on Conan.
Exactly who. And they're trying to think of it. They didn't have a name for the movie yet.
With Carrot Top, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He goes, it should be named Box Office Poison. And then they're going back and forth, and she goes, no, there is a name for it, Chairman of the Board. And then who's the guy
Conan.
With the big forehead?
Conan.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Conan O'Brien looks at him and goes, do something with that, you know? And about 5 seconds later, he comes out. Yeah, Chairman of the Board, B-O-R-E-D.
Brilliant.
And it was just, it was classic.
And Conan lost himself. Like, he
right.
lost his
and,
mind.
And she wasn't right. And she didn't mind, you know, that they were making fun of Carrot Top, because that's who they were making fun of.
Right.
Carrot Top, and the fact that you've done a movie with Carrot Top. So, I mean, it was, he stayed on. He was guesting, he stayed on. And it was just, her story was boring as hell. He made the night entertaining.
He sure did, so, man. Yeah. Always did. Yeah, you can. And I, like I was saying during Crosstalk, you should do yourself a favor and just Google Dirty Johnny. Norm MacDonald, the Dirty Johnny joke is an all-timer. I told these guys I can't do it as well as Norm, but they got a good kick out of it anyway. It's not something that we could tell here on the air. Of course, he was also very famous for playing Burt Reynolds. And it was almost one of those, like, You got to be talented when you're really not doing much of an impression and it's still hilarious. Like,
right.
There was really nothing about what he was doing that made you think of Burt Reynolds. He kind of looked like him with a fake mustache a little bit, but, you know, like, he was not an impressionist, really, although he did a great Bob Dole. I mean, who would have thought Bob Dole would have outlived Norm?
Well,
Dole put on Twitter a message. You know, Bob Dole's 98.
I did not know
Bob Dole put a message on Twitter last night. They became friendly, believe it or not. And Bob Dole, and maybe Merck can grab it and read it. Bob Dole put out a message on Twitter about how he appreciated Norm and they got to be friendly and how he was going to miss him. I mean, that Bob Dole outlived him. He did a good Bob Dole, but the Burt Reynolds stuff on SNL when they'd spoof Jeopardy was so great because he wasn't a master impressionist and it was still funny.
Did anybody know what Burt Reynolds? How do you impersonate Burt Reynolds?
I don't know.
You know, and the only thing he did was talk fast and short quips.
But it's Popeye. Here, I'll give you a little bit of that, too.
Yeah.
And finally, back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
I hate my job.
Like Jörg said, how do you do a Burt Reynolds? And he did. It was so funny. Yeah. I mean, he just, he was one of the all-time greats, man. Great in a lot of movies like Dirty Work and, of course, partnered with Adam Sandler and, I mean, Sandler, Spade. I mean, all the heavy hitters. David Letterman, who never tweets, put out a tweet because he loved Norm last night. And it was just the outpouring of emotion from people in that world, comedians, funny people, of comedic actors just telling you how great Norm MacDonald was. That's all you really need to know.
Here's the tweet from Senator Bob Dole. Norm at Norm MacDonald was a great talent, and I loved laughing with him on SNL. Bob Dole will miss Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, that's a great line by Bob Dole. In 98, he's still coming up with funny lines. Bob Dole will definitely miss him. That's Bob Dole's peanut butter. You can't take that. Those are Bob Dole's cookies. JD's going to join us when we come back next.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Talk to JD here in a minute, and then we'll play Aaron Rodgers' sound talking about getting one right in the little guys. That's never good. He'll explain. JD joins us on the Corona Hotline. He is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And he's live at house. Back to work Wednesday. Oh, boy, Jay, we haven't talked to you since that debacle. I mean, we kind of saw it coming. But every time I see a...
I did, and I was hoping for the best, Carl.
Well, every time I see a graphic, JD, like the next-gen stat stuff, like we were looking yesterday at Allen Robinson's routes. I mean, my God in heaven. Andy Dalton's scatter plot. I mean, you know, there's one ball thrown beyond 15 yards as a pick in the end zone. The other one was like maybe 17 yards, and that was a fourth and no, that was like 13 yards. It was fourth and 15 desperation. They still threw short of 15 yards. Like it's it's tough to look at, JD. I don't know. I don't care what your game plan is. Oh, the Rams are good on defense. We got to go quick. If you think you're winning a game in the NFL in 2021 playing like that, they need to have their heads examined, JD.
Well, I mean, you might have a chance to win a game like that if you don't have these epic breakdowns on defense, Carm. I mean, that to me, the score was not all that surprising. It's the way that the Rams scored that it's just unacceptable. So, you know, on offense, obviously, they don't feel like they've got the protection to put them back there for very long. The ball's got to come out quick. That's one of Andy Dalton's specialties, so you can kind of understand a little bit why some of those passing plays were for shorter yardage. But, you know, listen, if they don't give up those busted plays and they actually make the Rams earn a couple of those touchdowns, the game is a lot closer. But there's really nothing, Carm. I'm not defending them on offense or anything. There's very few redeemable things you can take away from that game except for Montgomery, who ran the ball very well when given an opportunity. And that's about all I got because that was a real clunker. And that's just, you know, it's the kind of start that they wanted to avoid. I never thought they'd go out there and win, but they needed to have a good game, a close loss, because when you get blown out in week one, and everyone is, you know, panicking and running around with their heads cut off and now demanding all these changes, and now, guys, they have got a tough game on Sunday.
Yeah.
I've never said Bengals week. You feel the juice? I've never said that before, right? But
never.
This is a tough game against a quarterback. You want to know, Joe Burrow must have been strutting around that facility this week. Can you imagine? Like, he's like Ric Flair, strutting around wearing a robe after watching the Bears defense play the way they played on Sunday night. They better be careful or they're going to be 0-2 going to Cleveland where you know they're going to have a hard time winning.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about how I felt that Raiders game was going to be the inflection point of the season coming up in October. This is it on Sunday. If they lose Sunday, this thing's going down the tubes in a hurry.
I don't think you can expect to score 14 or 17 or even 20 anymore in the NFL, even with a terrific defense, and expect to win a lot. It's just too much of an offensive league. But their defense is nothing close to elite. At least they've got to prove it to us a little bit here before we can begin to call this defense, forget about elite. I mean, I'd say even above average at this point, right, JD? They got a long way to go.
I mean, they're not even in the ballpark of elite.
Yeah.
I would say they were very subpar. Look, you're paying guys tons of money on this defense. And I realize that Khalil Mack gets a lot of attention. You're talking about 44 snaps and one assisted tackle? Seriously? That's what he gave you on Sunday night. Eddie Jackson, I don't have to go over this again. This has been well talked about. I mean, his play was completely just garbage. And, you know, he does that sometimes. He's very hit or miss. He's not consistent. They paid him a ton of money. That's got to get better in a hurry. You know, Akeem Hicks of those three played the best, but he still has a bad, you know, roughing the passer penalty and wasn't all that effective throughout the game. they're paying guys a lot of money at every level of that defense. And then to have the breakdowns that they had involving veteran players. These are not young guys. These are not rookies out there. Even Marquis Christian has been in the league for a couple of years. To have those types of breakdowns week one, where you're not even competitive on some of these plays, oh, man. I mean, forget about elite. Forget about good. This is a bottom-ranking defense right now based on what we saw on Sunday night.
J.D., Eddie Goldman, when are we going to see Eddie Goldman back? Question. I mean, he can help this defense, believe it or not.
He can. I mean, it was, you know, disheartening that he wasn't even well enough to make the trip to L.A. this weekend. So, you know, we don't talk to Nagy today. We'll talk to him tomorrow. We won't get a chance to look at practice until later today. But, you know, the fact that he missed practice all 3 days last week, didn't even have a hint of any sort of recovery, makes it a little dicey, I think, that he could be available for this week. But we will see. But, Yurko, you're right. That was a big loss.
Yeah.
And they hope to get him back sometime soon here.
When did he get hurt? When did he get hurt?
He got hurt last Monday at practice.
Boy. At practice. Not how good. The hell you get hurt at practice?
Especially a Monday practice. Which is like one of those 10-10-10s that they do, which is like a glorified walkthrough. I don't know. It's again, there's just so many disappointing storylines around this team right now. They need a spark. They need a big game from a couple guys this weekend, and they got to find a way to get to 500 because, again, I hate to bring this up again, but, man, if they go to 0-2, and then they're going to Cleveland to take on the Browns, who we know are good, even though they let that game slip away against
good.
The Chiefs last weekend.
I agree.
They're in big trouble, guys. Big trouble, and it's only week two.
You're right, JD. All right, buddy, we know you got to go because they got Zooms coming up. Thanks for the update, JD. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
Okay, guys, take care.
See you, buddy. There's Jeff Dickerson all over the Bears all week long on all the shows, Os Waddle and Sylvie Cap and Hoodie.
Carmen, there's a cut we should be playing.
But JD's in with Hood tomorrow, too, right?
From Hoodie, 9 to noon.
JD's going to be in the morning, 9 to noon.
I'm sorry, 7 to 10. God, 7 to 10. Hello, Randy. Jeez.
What's the matter? And I repeated it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you going
to
say?
No, I was driving the car yesterday listening to Jesse and Xander on my ride home, and a Marquise Goodwin, that's the new wide receiver, right?
Marquise Goodwin, yes. The speedster they got.
Did you hear the comment he made yesterday?
Let's play. You want to play it?
Yes.
Marquise Goodwin talking about what the Bears were doing on offense and maybe what they did poorly when going up against Jalen Ramsey. Take a listen to this.
I can't remember how much you actually saw him, but Jalen Ramsey is obviously a unique player. What kind of special challenges does he present?
As you mentioned, he's a unique player, all-pro, pro bowler, instinctive. Like especially in short spaces, and you know, us not running past 10 yards, that fell right into his hand. I feel like,
I mean, there's one of your offensive players, Yerk. He didn't even know how to respond to it at the end there. Well, and you know, I might be wrong about it. I'd have to go back and watch because I don't remember exactly. I do remember Darnell Mooney last year. Blowing him away, remember? And Nick Foles couldn't hit him. Was that on a double move, or did he just beat him off the line of scrimmage?
I think he beat
him off the line of scrimmage.
He beat him off the line of scrimmage, okay.
Because looked like he was waiting for him to break in or out.
I got you.
And he never broke, and he just ran right by.
Gotcha, okay, all right.
And I believe that part of the reason Foles just, because he was getting, there was pressure, and
Did
Foles, overthrew him by like 10 yards,
wasn't
it? He did, because
he had pressure bearing down on him, he couldn't hit him, and I guess they might have been too deep in their own territory for like a double move. I think you're right, Yerk, it could have been just he beat him off the line of scrimmage. And you really saw the Rams, I mean, for most of that night, especially the first half, Jalen Ramsey was following Darnell Mooney around. I mean, like, they were paying close attention to Darnell Mooney. But
you didn't really have to pay attention to Allen Robinson. He wasn't going anywhere.
Jeez. That's one of your receivers.
He's not streaking down the field, at least not in this Bears offense.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, it was a sad state of affairs last week. I don't know. Is he suddenly going to open it up? He hasn't opened it up ever. Why would now be the time?
I don't know. Plus, they don't trust that line. Randy's in Seattle. Go ahead, Randy.
Morning, boys.
Morning, man.
So, going to do a brief summary of Matt Nagy for you in a way that I haven't quite heard before. And listen, Matt may be a nice guy, but he's not cut out to be a coach in the NFL of any level. He's a gadget guy, okay? That's his specialty, gadgets. His playbook is co-authored by Rube Goldberg. And for your younger listeners who don't know who Rube Goldberg is,
just look up Rube Goldberg contraptions. It's like 8 moves to do something you can do in 2. But he doesn't have an NFL mind for the downfield game. He should be a junior college coach in Arizona, guys.
Well,
that's it.
Randy, thanks for the phone call. I think that might be a little harsh. I don't think he can call plays. I think he might be an okay coach, but I don't think he can call plays.
Yeah, he should be at the University of Thornton at South Holland.
Oh, stop it.
Or the South Holland Institute of Technology. Check that acronym out.
All right, what is it? What happens when you're a quarterback and you get hit in the little guys? Aaron Rodgers is going to tell you coming up next.
Yeah.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team, hosting Purdue in the Wildcats Classic, November 20th at Wrigley. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com.
Carmen and Yurko
on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
We were just laughing. Merck said they're already asking Urban Meyer at his press conference about USC. He coached one game. Urban Meyer's like, no, I'm not going there. Not yet, anyway. Talk to me at the end of the year.
Said he's staying. He's building something there.
We'll see. This is Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this, Yerk. You'll appreciate this. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. It basically starts because McAfee was asking him about the second interception. You know, and look, by the fourth or start of the fourth quarter, he's on the bench. Game was over. Jordan Love was in. Here's Rodgers' latest visit with Pat McAfee on his podcast.
Whenever you were in your end zone, and it was that second one that was caught by the other team, I actually heard, I think, is that, did you say that into a microphone? Or how did I hear that? Was that in my head I heard you say that? Or was that actually you? Because I think that was a pass that a lot of people looked at, and they were like, that's not what Aaron Rodgers would do. Were you just trying to take a shot, seeing if MVS was down there? Or did you know maybe this was like a punt if this thing gets picked off anyways? And did you get to the point where it was like, in that game, which would have been understandable?
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't have said it at one point in my mind, but I don't think it was on that play. No, you know, it was just, they were, like I said, they were playing the backside safety there, Loke on the backside. Devontae had a corner on the backside. I was thinking he was going to kind of stay with him and kind of double Devontae. And when I took my eyes off him, he did a nice shot, went back to the middle of the field, and I obviously overthrew Marquez on that one. I do want to talk about the first one.
Okay,
I think that there's have to be multiple ones, but for those of you who went back and watched it or will go back and watch it, I don't like to make a lot of excuses for interceptions. You know, there's some shit ones, there's some, you know, ones you wish you had back, there's some ones that really aren't your fault. That one was entirely due to the double nut shot I took. Somebody will go back and watch it, but I stepped up in the pocket. I was going to throw across my body to Devontae. He was running a shallow cross. And, you know, it's a ball I've thrown in practice before. I didn't feel bad about that throw. And right before I'm throwing it, I took a left kind of clothesline that, you know, A.J. Hawk or Brady Papenga clothesline. And somebody on the right, you know, with a right kind of cross, double nut shot that, you know, I guess I got to overcome that and throw a better ball. That was a painful one. They got their money's worth on that one.
No cup, double nut shot. Yeah, you know, Yurko always said never play. I didn't play football growing up. You know, I played hockey and baseball. You know, you couldn't imagine when you're, especially as a kid.
You've got to wear a cup. You've got a flying object.
Yeah, you got to wear a cup. Yeah. And so, I've always been surprised, I guess, Yurko, when you've told me and other players have been like, no, I didn't wear a cup playing football. I'm like, really?
I did when I was a Ute.
But not when you got, like,
but
what?
The older you got, the less likely you were the cup, because you realize you never got hit in the groin, ever.
But every once in a while, weird things would happen. Like the time you were trying to tackle, who were you trying to tackle?
Oh, it was Ernest Biner.
He was
with Baltimore at the time.
Yeah. Poor Yurko, got a hold of him.
Yeah, Ernest, and I'm trying to tackle him. You know, it's like my Sports Illustrated cover that featured Yurko.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that one.
I remember.
Emmitt Smith happened to be on it also.
Yes, he just happened to be
on it. And I was coming down the shoulders, boom. And you can see my arm across his thigh, And on that tackle, I ended up missing the tackle. I couldn't corral anything. Well, Ernest Biner may be a little bit more endowed than Emmitt Smith because on my way down,
you got something.
I'm missing the tackle. I'm off the shoulder pads now. I'm in the midsection. I went to grasp on, and it was like grabbing the end of a baseball bat. Next thing you know, the knob, the ridge, whatever you want to call it, stopped me. And all the Ernest Biner just he gave himself up. He went down to the ground and started yelling at me. He goes, "Dude, what are you doing?" I looked at him straight in the eye. I said, "Ernest, I was trying to get a hold of something. And I just happened to get a hold of that. And for that, I apologize."
I would have said, "Congratulations, Ernest. Jeez."
Arm. It was like an Adirondack. Only rename it. Only rename it.
Big Ern.
My heavens.
See, that's why I was always surprised that you
good
guys
for Ernest. But more, oh, my heavens.
I'm shocked when baseball infielders don't. Like Adrian Beltre, you played the hot corner. You didn't wear a cup. Are you?
Anthony Rizzo admitted.
You got to be out of your mind. It's crazy. We can continue this conversation a little bit more tomorrow. I love the Ernest Biner story. It's one of my favorites. We're going to wrap it up. But I want to know tomorrow if you ever were like on the opposite end of that. Maybe you're because you weren't wearing a cup. So no cup for Aaron Rodgers. I guess that's the key. He's put it out there now. Keep it in your mind if you're a defensive player. Not wearing a cup. We're going to tape a Crosstalk Unhinged in a little bit, so check that out later this afternoon on the ESPN Chicago app, on our page, or on Waddle and Sylvie's page. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. Thanks to JD and Jeff Passan. Great job by Meller and J.R. Strauss and Randy Merkin. Have a easy fast, Merk. We'll see you on Friday, okay, buddy? We're back tomorrow.
Thank you, buddy.
Greeny's up next, and Norm MacDonald. Rest in peace. He has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yuriko.
Yeah. And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, Manny. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off. Just a word of advice.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.